firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
If you think your pastor is busy, wait until you get a glimpse of Jesus' schedule when he was on earth. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us through the pages of the New Testament Gospel of Mark for a peek at Jesus' daily activities. So grab your seat on the Bible bus and get comfortable. And while you do, I'll read a few letters from listeners in our world prayer country of the day, Romania. One listener writes, "We're grateful for the good spiritual food that we receive daily from your program. In our village, we have no church, but I know others who listen to the program. We talk sometimes about what we have heard. Thank you." Isn't that great? Here's another email. This is from a listener in Romania who's sharing our study with others. "I am very glad that Through the Bible can be heard in our town. Your Bible commentary presents very sound theology. I made some flyers and have given them out in church and on the streets of our town so that more people can listen. Thank you for your work. God bless you." I just love his enthusiasm. Our last email is a praise from a mother who previously asked us to pray for her children. She writes, "I have great news. My daughter and my son-in-law have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I've given them a lot of information about the Bible, all of it from the TTB series. Now both of them have decided to be baptized. I am very grateful and thankful to our Lord for the way he worked in my family. Also, I am thankful for your ministry in Romania. Because I am retired, I can go to different rural churches in my area to encourage them and motivate them to study the Bible. Many people ask me how I got the historical and theological information I know. I learned all that I know from listening to you. I have very poor vision, so it is very hard for me to read. I share with them about this program and encourage them to listen. Thank you very much for this ministry. God bless you." Well, if you'd like to join us in praying for these listeners in Romania and others all over the world, please join us at ttb.org/pray. We're convinced that it's only through the grace of God and the faithful prayers of listeners like you that this ministry continues in more than 100 languages and dialects in over 160 countries around the world. There's simply no other explanation for it. So join us as we travel the world on our knees, asking God to change the hearts of the people that we meet along the way. Again, the address to join me and thousands of other Through the Bible listeners as a member of our world prayer team is ttb.org/pray. Now let's commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the work of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Mark, and thank you for his work on our behalf today. We pray that as we learn that you will help us to be about your business, presenting the truth of your wonderful grace to a lost and dying world. Give us a passion to serve you and share you with everyone around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now back we come today to the Gospel of Mark, and we have not gotten very far, but it's not our purpose to rush through this time in the 5-year program. But we wanted to put down a good, solid foundation for this Gospel of Mark, as it has been misunderstood and bypassed a great deal. Now we saw that a great deal is covered in this first chapter. This is the way that we have it given here, that John the Baptist is the one that introduced him, and God the Father identifies him, and the temptation initiates him, and now he's being illustrated by his words and his works, as we shall see in the remainder of this chapter. We have here not a genealogy, but the credentials of Christ. This gospel is slanted to the Romans. They were men of action. They ruled the world. This gospel is addressed to the man of power. The first gospel is addressed to the religious man. This one to the strong man. And then Luke is addressed to the thinking man. And then John is addressed, as we shall see, to the wretched man, the one that needs salvation. Now, as we come here to verse 16, our Lord began his ministry in Galilee. And we find now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he'd gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now this is not the first time that he's called them, by the way. If you go back over to the Gospel of John, you will find out that when he went up to Jerusalem, that was the first time that he met them. And actually, that was a general call. It was very informal and casual. They want to know, where do you dwell? John the Baptist had marked him out, and some of the disciples of John the Baptist now followed the Lord Jesus. But they didn't stay with him, and he didn't ask them to at this time. But now as he begins his ministry, we find that they've gone back to their nets there in Galilee, and now he goes along the sea, and he calls them to discipleship, that is, to be fishers of men. But we'll find that, again, they went back to their fishing. We'll find that when we get to the Gospel of Luke in the 5th chapter. Then you have a final call, and that we'll come to in this gospel. It'll be a call to apostleship. Now, it's recorded in this gospel, and again in Matthew 10 and in Luke 6. I called attention to this when we went through Matthew. Actually, three calls, and you will remember, I'm sure, that at the time that they went back to fishing, when Simon Peter saw him, why, he said, Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. In other words, what Simon Peter's really saying is, why don't you go and get somebody else? Let me alone, because I failed you so. I'm such a sinful man. But our Lord didn't give him up, and thank God for that. Now, this is actually the second call of these men. And now will you note, they leave their nets, they follow him, and they will be returning. They go with him now for a while. Now will you notice verse 21, And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now Mark brings us here in this section just actually a typical day in the ministry of Jesus. And it was a busy day, and he was certainly busy, and actually it was the Sabbath day. And you will recall that when they question him, these religious leaders, about doing what he did on the Sabbath day, he could make it very clear, I must be about my Father's business, and my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So we find out here his was not an eight-hour day. He that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now will you notice, he begins in Capernaum, verse 21, And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Now that was in the morning. The time is the Sabbath. It is morning. And he entered into the synagogue and taught. And the center was not actually the center of a vital religion in that day. The place is Capernaum. Now, the best I can tell from the Gospels is that when he left Nazareth and his own people would not receive him, he went down to Capernaum and he made that his headquarters, and it continued his headquarters all during his earthly ministry. Now, will you notice verse 22? And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now here we have the potency of truth and the manner of a man, and then see the effect of it. My criticism today of the church and of the ministry is that we do not speak with authority, and the reason that the ministry does not speak with authority, that we've lost our faith. And when I say we, I do not mean I have by any means, but I'm saying now as a class, the ministry today does not attempt to preach and teach the Word of God. There is a departure today. There's a radical departure. There is between the pulpit and the Word of God a tremendous bifurcation. You talk about a gap, a generation gap. Well, here you have a Bible gap. And in our Lord's day, as I've indicated, the synagogue had nothing vital in that day. And as a result, why, when our Lord came, what a difference there was in his message. Now they were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now we have here the example, and this is the first miracle that our Lord performed as far as the Gospel of Mark is concerned, and it's in the spiritual realm. Only God is in control in the spiritual realm. This is the manifestation of demonism. Now, there was that in the Roman Empire, and there's a great deal of historical evidence that it was actually rampant in the entire Roman Empire at this particular time, a manifestation of demonism. And the only way to meet it, the only way that it could be met, is by the Lord Jesus. He alone was able to move in this realm. And that's the reason Mark gives this as the first miracle. He brings this one that he performed and presents it as the first. Because, frankly, if he has power in this realm, there are two things that are implied. First, he'd have power in any realm. And second, only God could do this. And this was part of his credential, you see. He had authority. He had power. He taught as one that had authority. And he demonstrated that he had power. This is really a tremendous thing. Now, I do not need to labor this point, because if you are aware of what's taking place in our contemporary culture today, you recognize that Satan worship has become very prominent. And there are certain things happening today in the realm of the occult that can only be explained on the basis that it is satanic and that it is supernatural. You cannot explain reasonably why young people today will leave homes where they are loved and don't buy all of this propaganda that's being given out. Right now, the young people have a state of mind of self-pity. If you listen to them, you'll discover that. I talk to them a great deal, and it's self-pity that they manifest. If you listen to them, they sure feel sorry for themselves that they don't have freedom and they don't have this. Never has a generation of young people had what this generation has, and they're crying. Now, when I was a kid, they would not let me cry. My dad would have taken me to the woodshed if I'd attempt to cry. And I can remember as a kid having to chop cotton and pick cotton. And I don't mean to cry myself, but friends, it wasn't easy. But I didn't dare cry in that day. It was assumed that that's what I should do. And I hated that chopping cotton, friends. That's a job you can have. And it's not but one thing worse than chopping cotton, and that's to pick the stuff. Oh, I didn't like that. But that's what you had to do. Now, these young people today have everything, and yet you see this self-pity. Now they're trying everything. They've tried dope. They've tried everything. Well, Satan worship has become very prominent, and there's a great deal going on today in the occult. It's unbelievable that a group of young people from good homes would join a hippie band and then go out and murder. That seems unbelievable. That's satanic, friends. And I'm not sure, but what we're going to see actual demon possession if this continues. That is, it'll be manifested like that. And Christian friend, only one way to deal with it, and that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can control that. That's the first miracle that's given to us here. Now, they said to the Lord Jesus, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Now notice he's demonstrated in two realms, in that of teaching. He spoke as one having authority, power, friends. And here, in the realm of miracles, why, they could not understand it. He has authority that they could not at all understand. Power in two realms, you see. Now verse 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Now that's the area around the Sea of Galilee. Now we're given another incident, and this evidently took place sometime in the afternoon. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Now, she's not called a mother-in-law. She's called Simon's wife's mother. My mother-in-law used to call my attention to that, that was the nice way of saying it, and I'm sure it was. Verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. She ministered unto them. Now, this is another miracle already, and it took place that same day. And then, verse 32, and at even. Now, we've come through the day, and it's in the evening. When the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with demons. Now, Mark's going to do the same thing that Matthew did. Call your attention to the fact that we have only very few incidents of him healing, that literally he healed thousands of people, but only a few are given as incidents to them. And we're told here, they brought unto him all that were diseased, them that were possessed with demons, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many demons, and suffered not the demons to speak, because they knew him. The very interesting thing here is the demon world, they recognize him. And we're told that they believe, and yet they're not saved, of course. Now, we find that what happened, that we go through a day with him, and he's very busy. Now we're told in verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Now you'd think after a busy Sabbath day that he'd sleep in that morning. Well, he didn't do it. I know a lot of preachers take off Monday. They want to rest after a busy Sunday. But here you have that, and you'd think that he would rest. But no, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Now this is the beginning of the gospel, you see. He's now, by his teaching, preparing them for that which is salvation. That is, his death and his resurrection. His teaching will not save you, friend. It is what he did for us on the cross. Now, we find that he wants to cover that entire territory in his 3 years' ministry. Verse 39, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out demons. Now, it's well to note that there was a great manifestation of demon power at this time. The fact of the matter is that we have three periods, during the time of Moses, during the time of Elijah, and now during the time of our Lord on earth. Now we come here to the last miracle in this chapter. And again, these are hard cases, and they're all different. This is a leper. Leprosy was not incurable, as we shall see in Leviticus. But it was one of those diseases that was a killer, but it doesn't mean it was incurable. Verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now you'll recall that back in Matthew, that I called attention to the psychological side of this miracle, that our Lord touched him. Well, you didn't touch a leper, and he hadn't been touched in many years. In fact, he hadn't been able to touch anyone. I imagine his family brought out the food and drink for him and left it, and then they retired, and he came up and got it. He probably could wave at them, but he could never come to them again, never hold them in his arms. They could never touch him. Well, now the Lord touches this man, and he cleans him, and he says, I will, be thou clean. Verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, the cleansing of the leper was to follow the Mosaic ritual. Our Lord never really broke the Mosaic law. Now, verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. Now this man, instead of keeping quiet about it, he went out and published it. Well, if you want to get a thing out, why, you publish it. And if you want to make it known, why, just put it in the paper or get it on radio or something. Well, that's what this man did, and to blaze abroad. And that means to set a forest fire, or set something on fire. And friends, if you are having trouble getting your neighbors to listen to you, why, you just set your place on fire and the whole neighborhood will come around you. I can assure you that. Well, that's exactly what happened here. Years ago, I told a preacher over in Prescott, Arizona there, the pastor of the First Baptist Church, and I was holding meetings, and that Sunday morning, I just casually made the remark. I said, if you want to get a crowd here this week, all week, set the place on fire. And do you know, when I was preaching there that night, why, this man got up, and he walked to the back out in the Sunday school department. He came in and he just pushed me aside. And he said, friends, the church is on fire. And he asked them to file out, and they did it very orderly. And by that time, you could hear the sirens and the fire engines were coming. And I want to tell you, we did have a good crowd that Sunday night, but I'm sure we wouldn't have had Monday night. But the meeting had been on the back page of the paper on Saturday, but we were on the front page on Monday, that the First Baptist Church is on fire, that we were still having meetings there. And did you know that we had a crowd there that week? So I got so I recommend to every preacher who hold meetings that they set the place on fire. That's one way to get a crowd. Now, this fellow did that, and he disobeyed our Lord. I preached for a preacher in Texas years ago. I'd go over and preach for him after I'd preached for myself. He was a black man and a very wonderful man, by the way. And I got over one evening before he finished preaching, and I want to tell you, he said the wisest thing I've ever heard about that. He was preaching on this. He says the Lord told him not to tell anybody, and he told everybody. And he says he tells us to tell everybody, and we tell nobody. Well, I thought that was good. And I want to say, friends, that that disobedience of this man, I like it lots better than our disobedience today. We're told to tell everybody, we tell nobody. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of this chapter. Believe me, our Lord's busy, is he not?
Have you told someone about Jesus today, or this week, or this year? Jesus' last words to his disciples, and to us, before he went back to heaven, were, go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you're ready to tell others about how precious Jesus is to you, and introduce them to God's word, we can help. Visit ttb.org and click on the banner, How Can I Know God? There you'll find several of Dr. McGee's best messages on this subject, in print and audio formats, to share with your family and friends. Also on ttb.org, you'll find God's Word available in more than 800 languages through our partnership with our friends at Faith Comes by Hearing. You can also find our 5-year study available in over 90 languages on our global listening page, ttbinmylanguage.org. Now, don't let location or language be a barrier when you want to share God's Word. Check out all of these resources at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll be happy to direct you. And join us tomorrow for more of our great study in the Gospel of Mark. I'm Steve Schwetz and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you.
Jesus made it home, all to be my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.